We have a very special wilderness treat to begin with, is Jerry the ice cream man is going to make a very, very important announcement. Jerry.
Well, first of all, we'll be around to pick up your peelings so you don't have to hold them all during Bible study. But Barbara Austin challenged us this week to have 40 flavors in the wilderness this summer. And so we thought we could do it, and we've been working at it. Well, we're already there. We're going to open the... We will open the 40th flavor as soon as I find the nail polish that matches the color. And a man offered it to me during the fire thing this morning, so we're almost there. So we had to have a new goal. I read in the new booklet in our room that they scooped 26,000 gallons of scoops last year. So we're going to go for 40,000 this summer. Now, I've been adding up all the ice cream we've sold so far and calculating the number of scoops in a carton, and we're going to get there. But you're all going to have to come and help out. We're open 3:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon, 8 to 10 at night, and I'm sure by the end of this week we'll be way on our way. So, thank you.
And what's great about Holden, eating ice cream as moral action. yesterday, the manna setting, isn't it just to have food right in front of us, right? And again, I didn't get anything to eat before, so I'll be looking at that all the time. But yesterday, I had those three rolls, and I invited anyone who had not received one, and one person came and had a half a roll, then I had another half, and the other two I put in my room, and they rot. It's rot and maggots. I read these words of Mary, when she heard that she would be the mother of the Messiah. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in you, my Savior. For you have looked with favor on the lowliness of your servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For you, the Mighty One, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. Your mercy is for those who fear you from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. You have brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. You have helped your servant Israel in remembrance of your mercy, according to the promise you made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Sarah and to their descendants forever. Yesterday we finished with the Zacchaeus story. And what is one thing that I think is marvelous about this story is that in Zacchaeus, Mary's song comes true. The rich are lowered, the poor are exalted, and this is what is revolutionary. The rich, the sign of the rich being Zacchaeus, or the representative of the rich being Zacchaeus, throws it, scatters it, releases it, and is enjoying it. This is a new kind of a revolution for the world, a revolution of joy and celebration in the grace of God. Now, after the Zacchaeus story in Luke, and by the way, I'm following Luke's story through these days. Right after the Zacchaeus story is one parable, and then Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. And the big deals, if you read Man in Mercy, that's the word for how I am at times, and we all are. But the super big deals are there waiting, and these are the people in charge. These are the people who benefit from the way things are. Many of these are the priestly descendants of those old Maccabean soldiers. They are the ones who took over, pointed themselves priests, casting out the true priests from the temple, and now they wait for him. In Jerusalem, Jesus shares the Passover meal with his disciples. It's a wilderness meal because all share the one cup and all share the loaf. And Jesus says to them, "This is my body, this is my blood. And then do this to remember me." The word remember has a fascinating deep meaning. It doesn't just mean thinking about something that happened way in the past, but it is through the community and through its ritual to take something from the past and it's transferred into the present. So it becomes a reality now. It is remembered. You get it? No. Do this to remember me. After the meal is Gethsemane, the crying out in the garden, and then his arrest. Judas kisses him. The temple police, chief priests, the elders arrest him. Why? Why, when someone has been so good, the healer, the announcer of love and forgiveness? Their world is threatened by his world. Their Egypt world is threatened by his wilderness world. Their world is a world of some. His word is a word of all. Would you open to, with one voice, 668? Do I need to announce the verses? Okay. 668. Also, at this time, if you need, we also will need gather later, so you need to have access to both. Take a little wilderness break here. Oops. Now Jesus is brought to trial, and Jesus is condemned by the rulers, condemned to be crucified. Now nothing stands between Jesus and his cross. Thank you. Jesus is crucified. The wails of God fill the universe, and the creation weeps. God is in Christ reconciling the world to God's self. Yahweh and Jesus bear the pain of the world, absorbing the arrogance, absorbing the hatred, absorbing the violence. And there on the cross, Jesus offers manna and mercy. To the thief on the cross, Jesus promises the banquet of paradise with its abundant food for all. And Jesus offers mercy, forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Abba, forgive those who crucify. Forgive them. And then Jesus cries out, Abba, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus dies on the cross. The first fruit of the power of innocent suffering. The soldier, the centurion in charge of the crucifixion, cries out the innocence of this victim. Is this the first of the nations coming to Zion? Is this the dream of the prophets being fulfilled, that ancient dream that someday the nations will come and there will be peace? The women disciples stand at a distance. For them, all is now lost. The dreams of a new world of bread sharing and forgiveness are all lost. His promise of a new jubilee, lost. And those leaders who benefit from the system, who benefit from the way things are, they raise their glasses and say, congratulations, things are back to normal. Normal with clean and unclean people. Normal with righteous and sinners. Worthy and unworthy. The rich and the poor, the powerful with all of their advantages, and the powerless victims of their greed. It's all back to normal. The vote is in about Jesus, and the vote is no. For all with power have voted against him. And now he is buried in a borrowed tomb. But one vote is not in, and that is the vote of Yahweh Sabaoth, who reaches into that tomb and whispers, "Yes, yes." Women find the tomb empty. They run to tell the men, who of course don't believe them because they're women. Women at that time are not allowed even to testify in court. Two on the road to Emmaus meet him in the breaking of bread. All the disciples, he appears to them. And guess what he asks? "Got anything to eat? Anything to eat?" And they share broiled fish. So both in Jerusalem and in Emmaus, no one recognized Jesus until there's food, meal. That's how they recognize him, in the breaking of bread, as we do. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. I invite you to respond. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You can say it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Open your gathers to 315. It's an Easter hymn from West Africa. We'll sing it once for you.
Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, Jesus. Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, Jesus. Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, Jesus. Christ the Lord is risen, Christ the Lord is risen, Jesus. He has conquered death, he has conquered death, Jesus. He has conquered death, he has conquered death, Jesus. Sin has done its worst, sin has done its worst, Jesus. Sin has done its worst, sin has done its worst, Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia, Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia, Jesus.
May be seated. I'd like to move at this point from what is called storytelling to catechesis. That means teaching. I'm going to try to teach something, so here it is. So often, and it is so common in our churches on Easter Sunday, and I say this because I have done this, and that is to narrow the resurrection to the message that when we die because Christ is risen, we have the promise of everlasting life. And therefore we sing Alleluia. And this is true, but it is not the whole picture. And I think especially North American or first world Christians tend to be more comfortable limiting it to my own life and its future in heaven. Do you get what I mean? In the early... Oh, did somebody say no? I like to expand, not negate that, but to expand it. For the early church, a great theme of the resurrection was that the resurrection is God's great vindication, great yes of Jesus. The great yes of Jesus as he lived. The powers of the world had said no to his life, to his teaching, no to his love of enemies, no to his mercy for all, no to his manna for all, to his canceling of debts, to his proclamation that the reign of God is here. The crucifixion was their no to all the teaching, the stories, the healing, and the grace offered to those who were left out. And the great act of resurrection, of God raising Jesus from the dead, was God's word, yes, to all that Jesus lived for and all that he calls us to live for. And by baptism, we are raised with him to live his life. I like to put it this way, that the resurrection means that all reality, the depth of the universe, the ground of all being, if you want to be Tolikian, did I pronounce that right? Someone's impressed right over here. That's the theologian Tillich who wrote that God is the ground of all being. But to think of this, that the act of resurrection is God's no to those powers of normality, and then yes to the power of the victim, the power of the innocent victim, the deepest truth of the universe, is it is this power that will bring about a new creation. This is life. This is shalom, the way of peace. Now, I want to close today with a little story that reminds me of this over and over. Years ago, we were with Tom. What year were we in Estonia? 87. We were together in Estonia when it was still part of the Soviet Union. And we were guests of the Lutheran Church in Estonia. And a group of pastors and lay people were our hosts. And they showed us around. They brought us many places. We had, I think, the night after night, the most exciting discussions about the faith that I've ever been part of. One of the adults who was our host had a daughter whose name was Katya. Good. I'm so glad Tom is here. Katya is about 8 or 9 years old and a joyful girl, and she would follow us wherever we went, run in between us, poke us, make fun of us, laugh with us. And getting to know her, found out that she was the only girl in her, or the only student in her school that was not a member of the Communist Youth League. Her reason that she wanted to be part of the church, and you could not be both. And when I found out about that, I admired her as a little girl. We had choir practice together, and she was there. And choir practice was the most exciting thing you can imagine, because it was the only thing the government allowed the church to do besides Sunday morning worship. So choir became the place of resistance. Can this still happen? Choir became the place of resistance. They were allowed to have no Bible studies, so they would practice anthems from Scripture and then have long discussions about what the anthems mean. And while we were there at choir practice, an Estonian folk singer took out his guitar, and he sang "We Shall Overcome Someday" with the depth of emotion that I have never heard like that. When we were ready to leave Tallinn, we got on our bus, and when I got on, Katya handed me a little cardboard circle, and I noticed that she also had a pin, and she pinned this circle on my lapel. And then we were saying all the goodbyes and the hugs. And when I got to my seat on the bus, I looked down at this little circle, and she had written there in English, "Never be normal." And I give thanks for the resurrection. So go and practice Easter abnormality. Thanks be to God. And have a banana on the way.